And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we go to the reading from the book of Acts this morning, chapter 17. And it's in your bulletins, or you may want to open your Bibles to that text as well. There's a lot here, and we're going to look at facets of it this morning. But when Paul is in Athens, and something great is revealed there for us as God's Word is timeless and for us still today. Do you know that you can be very religious and have no relationship with God? Ever thought about that? You can be very religious but have no relationship with God. And Paul points this out to the citizens of Athens. And so we see the words before us there, an incredible event that takes place as Paul is invited to speak in the midst of a lot of the philosophers of the day. Athens was kind of a think tank of the world in its day. People came to share ideas. Philosophers were there. And in the midst of these, Paul speaks, and we hear, so standing in the midst of the Areopagus, he said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." Now, it's interesting, when Paul spoke these words in Athens, he saw a city that was full of religious objects, many different kinds of idols representing many different gods that were worshipped by the people of that day. In fact, as Paul always did, he went to the synagogue first of the Jews and generally was rejected by them wherever he went. But there, too, was another religion in the midst of Athens. And so then Paul is invited to the Areopagus, which is this hill, and I think we have it on a slide, but there's the Areopagus where those people are standing, and behind is another shrine, and that is the Parthenon, and that temple was dedicated to Athena, another goddess that was worshipped by those in Athens in that region of the world of that day. Very, very easy to see that temple. Well, think about it when you drive around our area today. For instance, in Fort Collins, there's a temple, the Angel Moroni on the top of it, the new Mormon temple in Fort Collins. Or if you go over by the CSU campus, there's a Muslim mosque in Fort Collins. And then I never realized this. One day I'm kind of driving the back roads by DIA, and never in the world would I guess that I would see a Singh Sabha temple. It's huge. It's out in the middle of what I thought was very conservative country north of Denver, and here is this huge temple. Lindy and I, when we were in Liberty, Missouri, we saw this pinnacle point from a distance, and I thought, what in the world is that thing? We got to drive towards it and find out what it is. Look at that. There's a temple, and these are the Mormons who stayed in Missouri, who didn't go west to Utah, different belief system, and they actually believe God, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to come down that temporal spire. Temple spiral there. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? It's really weird stuff. Oh, and then during Holy Week, you heard me talk about the Church of the Cannabis. Ken, you know this sanctuary well. It used to be a Lutheran church in Denver, but this now is another temple, and sadly, even an old Lutheran congregation that closed, and now we have the Church of the Cannabis. And by the way, for $4,200, you can have a wedding there, and you get pot included. Think about it. Is it really? I tell a lot of people we're living in the book of Acts. We have all kinds of idols and temples, religious facilities. We appear to be a very religious country. And we are, in light of the things that we just saw. But religion is different from a relationship with Christ. And Jesus certainly made this very evident in his ministry as he came in the midst of a very religious people. The Jews, God's people that he called, and yet the majority of them, including the leaders, strayed away. And Jesus approaches them on their religion and their rebellion against him at the same time. And so in Matthew chapter 23, you can read about this, and I have it to put up on the screen. There's a lot there. You may want to look at this later. But Jesus confronts the leaders of the religion of the day with some of these words. And he says that, you know, you preach, but you do not practice. You put heavy burdens on the people that you were called to oversee, and you're not even willing to move a finger towards doing the same thing. And it's all about what you look like on the outside and not concerned about what's in the inside. And Jesus comes out very strong. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Outwardly appear beautiful, but within it's like you have dead bones and you're unclean. Whoa, that's pretty harsh, wouldn't you say? And Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of the day. Jesus wasn't too impressed with them. In fact, he was downright righteously angry with them, and he confronts them. Now, what do you think about the church today? Christianity. You know, it still says we are a Christian nation. And yet, when you look at what's going on in the Christian church today, it's downright concerning. The church, I think, has turned into a mega business. It's very business-oriented in its approach. And every church says, hey, come over here. Here's what we have to offer. And so there's this big promotion and hoopla about what we have to offer. It's become a very competitive type of business, if you will, in its structure across our land. And there's kind of this thing now, we want to be the in-church. You know, every community has the in-church, right? It's where the people of status, it's where the people that are very wealthy in business, they all like to kind of gather there. And it's a place where you can get your name known out in the community. And what does that look like in modern day? But it's a new religion. It's a new religion, but Christ is being lost in the midst of it. Or what can we do for you? You know, this whole consumer mentality of drawing the multitudes in and saying, we'll do whatever you want, we just want you to come. It's interesting, in Timothy, Paul warns about that very thing to Timothy, an understudy pastor, and that is, people are going to want you to preach what they want to hear, what their tickling ears want to hear. And Paul warned Timothy, stay firm in the word and do not give in to the desires of the multitudes that come to listen to you. Wow. God is very firm. And yet, what do we see? We see a buffet theology in Christianity. It's kind of a pick and choose what you want. If you don't like that law of God, we'll just throw that one out. Or, heaven forbid, if you don't like God's law at all, we'll just eliminate it. That's Joel Osteen. I mean, he's come out and said it. The law does no longer apply. It's all good news today. And he fills a huge stadium. People love it because they're not going to be confronted in their sin. And it draws the multitudes. Religious folks are concerned about the outside, but not about the relationship with Christ. And so it's all about style shows. It's all about power status. It's all about status of any kind. It's putting on fronts. And pastors, beware. Because us pastors are the ones that can get caught up in that the most easily. religion versus being a child of Christ. And that's what God confronts in Athens. You know, a few years ago, right here in Greeley, I was invited. It was a Christian, non-denominational mission gathering. And they were raising funds for a Christian mission in India. And I was asked to do the opening prayer. And right before it starts, the pastor in charge runs up to me and says, "Pastor Greg, I forgot to tell you, when you do the opening prayer, do not mention Jesus." I said, "What?" He said, "Yes, it may offend some of the people that are here, and they may leave, and we need their money." Honestly, that's where Christianity religion, is at in the U.S. today. You and I are going to be challenged more and more to stand firm and to contend for the truth, which is law and gospel. You know, Paul, think about his background. And Paul isn't proud of it, but he's not ashamed to share it for a lesson for all of us, and it's in Philippians 3. Remember, before Paul had a relationship with Jesus Christ, he was trying to destroy Christianity. He was seeking out Christians to throw him into prison. On the way to Damascus, Jesus confronts him. And Paul's life has changed forever. And so then Paul says, you know, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, there's the boasting, there's the pride, there's the status. Look how great I am, Paul says. I have more. And then he lists all those things about his history. And I love that. A Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But then look at what Paul goes on to say. You know, he says all of that is rubbish. It means nothing in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. And so Paul's life was changed from religious to being a disciple of Christ. And I can't imagine being in that context in Athens. You'd feel pretty small, but Paul knew the Lord was with him. And so we hear in verse 23 that altar. Paul sees a common ground here and he grabs it. "What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." Isn't that cool? You know, you guys are worshiping an unknown God. Guess what? I know Him. Let me tell you about Him. And the central message given by testimony of the people in Athens in verse 18 is that Paul was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. That was his message as he was going around and visiting with the citizens of Athens. And they even announce it. He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities. Why? Because he's preaching Jesus and the resurrection. By the way, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. We're still in the Easter season. In fact, the Easter season never ends. We're going to go into glory in heaven in the Easter season, and we're going to see our risen Lord on the throne in glory. And no longer, Angela, will we need, you know, with our eyes of faith, but we're going to see Him with our eyes. Kids, what an incredible children's message this morning. And you think about your stuffed animals that you can see now, you're going to see Jesus in the very same way. In the future, that's still coming. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul emphasizes this. Look at what is important. "As of first importance, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He was raised the third day in accordance to the Scriptures." You know, I was sitting at a hair place and finally got a haircut. But anyway, sitting there, I was listening in on one of the hairdressers, young gal, Lutheran, and then this young man, he's probably in his early 30s getting his hair cut, and they were talking about their churches. And he says, "Oh, I love head-banging music." And our church, that's what they have. It's really incredible. You ought to come to our church and experience that. And I'm sitting there thinking, head-banging music, religion, or how about, why don't you come and hear about Jesus? Do you know that He rose from the dead? Wow, what an incredible event. The simple message, so easily lost. Now, we don't have time this morning to go through Paul's sermon. But, you know, really, I could have just said, here's the sermon this morning, and just read the words. We heard him read a moment ago. But I would like you guys today, sometime, if you can, to read Paul's sermon. And just a synopsis of it, he acknowledges God to be creator, that God is not far away, but that He's in the midst of our lives here on the earth. He emphasized God is not dependent upon us. We don't have to build Him temples. A temple cannot contain Him. He is everywhere. Paul goes on to say that God has revealed Himself through creation. Think about religion today. Another religion is evolution. And talk about driving people from the Creator. There's a religion for you. And it's being quite successful in our land. Paul emphasizes God is Creator. And by the way, if you look at creation, God has given this to you primarily so that you will seek Him. And he goes on to explain that. And then he goes into law and gospel. And he says, repent. You have now heard the truth. You no longer have an excuse for not knowing God because I'm revealing Him to you today. And in conclusion then, Paul brings in the wonderful gospel. And I think we have that in verse 32 on the screen. But now, when they heard of the resurrection... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had that passage there. I didn't. But at any rate, Paul preaches the gospel about the Anointed One. And then emphasizes again that we know this to be true because Jesus rose from the dead. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I have been called through the waters of baptism, through hearing the Word of God. We have been called into this marvelous faith. And we are here to share. How do we do that? Do we share religion? Or do we share Jesus? In other words, when you're out in the community, oh man, we got the most awesome music, and we do with Ken playing the organ. It's incredible. Thank you, Ken. Or the praise band at late service. But is that where we want to draw people's attention? Tell them about Jesus. And by the way, if you want to hear more about Jesus, come to Trinity. We have our school where you can learn more. Come and hear His Word proclaimed and read and worship. Oh, we have amazing Bible studies. Come and join us for Bible study, and you're going to come to know what you may not fully understand now, but oh, it's wonderful good news. It's all about Jesus. Well, after this great message that Paul preaches, then we see the words on the board. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, we will hear you again about this. There's the norm. You're going to be made fun of, and you're going to be laughed out of rooms talking about the resurrected Lord, but there will be people that will hear, and God's word will change their hearts. And in Athens, Paul gained a couple leaders in the church there. As you read on in Acts, Dionysius, a man, he became a church leader in Athens. And then Damaris, a woman, who also became a leader in the ministry in Athens. Imagine what God did through just those two newborn Christians. And how did that happen? By Paul faithfully upholding God's truth. Not proclaiming a religion, but proclaiming Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.